Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Titans back out on the practice field in Minnesota today, and Treylon Burks is going to be okay. So we can all breathe a big sigh of relief of that. We will recap all of that. We'll get the experts' inside opinion and diagnosis of Treylon Burks, what we can expect for Treylon Burks over the next few weeks. But the suit is with us. How are we doing, suit?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Well, we brought you in as a guinea pig.
Yeah, I know. I was just coming to say hi, and you're like, hey, jump on.
Yeah, we need you as a guinea pig real quick. And let me say that it was in real time when we were on the air yesterday when the Treylon Burks thing happened, and we were really worried. It is a lesson to not overreact and wait until you get the diagnosis, but it did look really bad. And
I thought he tore his ACL.
We were fearing the worst, and you know, D-Mace was flashing back to Kevin Dyson, who was in year two, making a big jump, tore multiple ligaments.
Missed first-round draft pick, coincidentally
very
enough.
Very eerie similarities, and he did miss a whole year. Mm-hmm. Came back and had a solid career. But we always wonder where he could have gone had that not happened. And then, so we're all thinking about all these things. And so when we got that diagnosis yesterday, like, ooh, all right.
Life is okay. Like, sighed and said, thank goodness. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. There's so much. There is a lot. Right. It illustrates how much is riding on him. They need him to be good.
Yeah. So I understand now DeAndre Hopkins is probably in bubble wrap.
As he should be.
That's probably the plan for
They
him.
Should all be in bubble wrap after what this team has gone through over the past couple of seasons. Put them all in bubble wrap.
All right, so we brought the suit in to be the guinea pig because we had the trivia night last night, which you've been a part of before.
I have.
Willie did a great job, had a blast.
Oh, thank you.
At Boombaz
it was
last
fun.
Night.
It was
a really
fun
time.
So we had Boombaz East, and let's set the stage because we have a great rivalry going on. We had two teams representing 102.5 The Game. Caroline was captaining one.
Mm-hmm.
And our man, Nick Frazier, with the Nick at Night, Nicks, Junie, and a couple of the interns.
Adam was there. Nick Keezer, both the Knicks.
Yeah.
Nick Keezer's girlfriend as well,
And then you had the broadcast team from the Preds.
Oh, boy.
Sitting right at table one, right in front of the host, heckling throughout.
Hal
Gill, Lindsey Rowley, Chris Mason.
An awfully boisterous team.
Very boisterous.
Yes.
You think?
Yeah.
But they backed it up. So it comes right down to the last question, and it's a Jeopardy kind of thing. You have to wager. So Caroline's team is still right in contention. C-Mace, Hal, Lindsey, they're right there. So we had two questions about the same movie prepared, and we couldn't decide which one, so we had one and two. You didn't know the question or the subject. And we just said, Hal, you want question one or question two? He said, give me two. So here's the question, because Hal and that crew got it right, and they won it.
Did they wager everything?
They wagered everything and got it. You guys, Caroline, wagered everything.
Wagered all of it, and I was so confident. So it is myself and three Vanderbilt graduate students. So I'm thinking, okay, cool, perfect. I'm set. I'm good. And then the final question, we wagered everything. It was a sports movie question. So I was like, okay finally, I can contribute something to my team.
I'm 50-50 on these.
Okay.
Generally.
And then young Nick's table, also a little younger. You guys wagered everything.
We did. Last place. I mean, we had to wager it all just to get somewhere, right?
Right. And we're going to get to the end of their night. But, so here's the question. I wonder if D-Mace were playing on Caroline's team, would he have saved them with this? And we're not going to know until D-Mace comes back on the show on Monday. But we're going to test you first.
Okay.
To see if you know this. The question was, name the dog either the nickname or the real name of the dog in the movie The Sandlot?
I see. Okay. I don't know. Because The Sandlot, I'm probably in the minority. I like The Sandlot. I don't love The Sandlot.
Okay. So you're not way into the movie.
Yeah. And it's been a minute since I've seen it.
Okay. So you're coming up empty. See, I feel like the older you are, the more likely you're going to get it.
It's the dog over the fence. Behind the fence. Yeah.
It's a St. Bernard.
You have two possible answers. You have two possible answers. Because we would take what they refer to the dog as.
And you didn't get it.
I did not get it. I was so confident in my answer. I was like, yeah, this is what it is. Like, I know for sure. I can literally hear
the
kids
saying it. Like, it's on
the
tip of my tongue, but I can't.
But I had the wrong name, like the wrong character in the movie.
Yeah. Oh. My team chose the other dog's name. Yes.
So you guys went with The Sandlot 2.
Exactly. When I heard the question 2 from Hal, it just triggered Sandlot 2.
I told Nick's team what I put, and Nick was like, ha, she got it wrong. Like, we're going to win.
I was like, yes.
So they were flexing too soon.
Yeah. And so in my mind, in my generation, The Sandlot 2 doesn't even really count. Yeah, it was nowhere close.
I didn't even know there was a second.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, there's three out there.
What?
It's not good.
But the first one. Stop making sequels to movies. Yeah.
The first one was the soundtrack to my freaking childhood.
It's so good.
Do not waste your time on Sandlot 2 or 3. Just stay with The Sandlot. But if you haven't seen The Sandlot,
I don't remember the name. This is killing me.
I said The Great Bambino.
Yeah,
that was the Bambino. Only name that was coming to my mind, but obviously that's Babe Ruth.
Right, and of course the character is Ham.
Right.
The great Ham Porter, calls himself the Great Hambino.
Right. Yeah.
But the movie does revolve around Babe Ruth and nicknames for Babe Ruth, the Sultan of SWAT and everything. And there is a connection to him and the dog, but the answer was the Beast.
The Beast, that's it. Yep.
So we would accept the Beast or the real name of the dog, which you don't learn until the very end. Hercules is the name of the dog.
The Beast.
And you guys put Nick?
Goliath.
Goliath, which is the Sandlot 2.
Yeah.
So that was the difference. But I feel like D-Mace will know this.
I think D-Mace will know it.
I think D-Mace is going
to
know this.
I think he'll say the Beast.
Yeah. That was, to me, that was what I was thinking. It's almost too easy because we're giving you both chances, but a lot of people missed it. So that's what elevated Mace and Hal and Lindsay to the title.
I need to bring you two to trivia night that I go to sometimes.
Okay. I'll do that.
I'm a wealth of knowledge that really
I love trivia nights.
Doesn't help me for anything other than trivia.
It's just useless trivia.
I just know stuff. Like, all polar bears are left-handed. How is that going to help me?
That'll help you in trivia night.
Right, in trivia.
It does
write
come
that
in
one
handy.
Down for your next trivia night. Give me credit for that one.
So last night, a key question that C-Mace got, that who knew that C-Mace knew this, but there was a question about an island nation where most of the world's vanilla extract comes from.
Yeah, now that
and 90% of their wildlife is unique only to that island.
That I would not know.
Madagascar.
Oh,
yeah.
Mace knew it, vanilla? Not because of the movie Madagascar, which might ring a bell in your head if you saw that. Madagascar 2, I guess, right? That's
something like that.
Some of those. That, a lot of zoo animals from there. Mm-hmm. Funny movie. Good movie. But Mace knew because of the vanilla extract. And everybody's going, how do you know this? He goes, well, I research vanilla. You know, I look at things that I use. And everybody's like throwing pieces of pizza at him and stuff like, you're such a nerd. But it won the game for him. It was a big win.
Yeah.
So there's a great rivalry going. When we do this again, we hope a lot of people continue to join us. We had a good time. And Nick, your team came home with a trophy.
We did.
Why?
You know, it's the trophy for people that don't win a lot, right? And that the trophy went into Tyler.
So the participation trophy?
Basically so.
The
but it was big.
Trophy.
It was not just participation. It was the loser. It was winning isn't everything.
There it is.
What it says on the
trophy.
And it should be proudly displayed in the hallway here.
Junie
right?
has it, I do believe.
Junie brought it home as the captain of the team. And he raised it up proudly because they finished last.
It's a decently sized trophy. Like, we're talking probably from probably my torso to my shoulders.
Did Hal Gill have any comments for you?
To me, yes. So Aaron gave me a pizza cutter and also took Hal's pizza cutter away from him and gave it to me as well to give it to my grandmother. And I got a dirty look from Hal, and then he ended up saying, I was like, I don't need two pizza cutters. He goes, what, are you calling me old? I was like, no, I'm not calling you old. I just don't need two pizza cutters.
When he gets that way, just remind him that Pecorino has more goals as a Predator than he does. That'll
pipe him down.
Hal doesn't make, what does Hal need a pizza cutter for? He doesn't make pizza.
Don't give him sharp objects.
He said he did. I don't know.
It isn't a good idea. In a competitive setting.
No, not a good idea.
So we have some people on our text line answering all the questions. The other question, the alternate question, had Hal said one and not two, was the character that outruns the beast at the end of the movie, The Sandlot.
So you two questions from the same movie. I like that.
It was either or, though. So we couldn't have said, yeah, Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
So we would have given you Benny. We would have given you the Jet. I guess we would have taken Rodriguez, too. So, is that easier or harder? We couldn't tell which one was easier or harder.
That one's
so we
probably
flipped
easy. Well, I don't know. They're probably the same.
He did not take our answer when one of the questions was, what was the coach's name in Remember the Titans? Coach Boone. I could not remember his name for the
Herman
life
Boone,
of me.
Yeah.
So, we just put coach. I thought, well,
yeah.
They call him a coach.
They're not going to get
so we were call him, they you call that. Him coach in the movie.
Herman Boone.
We're not giving you coach. You got to give us a little whatever. There's obviously a coach.
Wait, Caroline, was that your team that
yes,
just put
they
the coach?
The one that put the coach.
Caroline.
What was the name of the school? T.C. Williams? Is that what it was?
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah. I do believe that is correct.
So when Sudzo and I were doing the game blitz, we kind of started this running gag with each week where we'd go through the scores. And, I mean, you know, there'd be a ton of games that we're giving scores through. We would always work in T.C. Williams somehow.
Okay.
And Coach Boone. And it took like a few weeks, and then finally somebody was like, wait, is that the Remember the Titans school?
It sounds like a real school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Remember, that movie came out when the Titans became the Titans, and they had made this great first impression.
Yep.
So Jeff Fisher brought Herman Boone, the real Herman Boone, to the team. Like they sort of bonded with them. So that was a fun move back in the day.
And then a few years ago, they came in and did the dance and everything.
And one of the guys on the team, right, one of the offensive linemen went to Austin Peay, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
One of the real guys who was in the movie, he went to play football at Austin Peay.
Yeah, you're right.
One of the guys who sings in the locker room. It's one of the fun parts in the movie.
Yeah,
I forget his
bigger
name.
Guy.
Not Blue. One of the guys' name is Blue, and the other guy... Yeah, they really white guy, black guy. They bond.
Yeah,
it's great.
No, it's
like when one of them is in the hospital at the end of the movie.
That's the other two guys, no. Julius and Gary Bertier.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen that movie in 15 years.
It's rewatchable.
It's
a great movie.
I make sure to watch it like once a year.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Your annual Remember the Titans Day.
Yeah.
Two things that you cannot forget: the Titans and the Alamo.
That's true.
Write that down.
That's true.
So great night.
Fight Club.
Great night of
and
trivia. Thanks to everybody who helped donate to Stars and everything. So thumbs up, and we'll find out Monday if D-Mace would have put Caroline's team over
I
the
have
top.
Faith in him. I think he does.
Okay, I think he does too.
D-Mace is a sneaky
He got a flat tire. D-Mace was coming to the trivia night, and he got a flat tire. He had to turn around and go. He couldn't.
Yeah.
He got left on the side of the road.
I texted him. I was like, where are you at? D-Mace goes, looks like it's not looking great for me. There's no spare in my car. And the dealership is picking me up, and my car is at the dealership, and he's on his way home. I was like,
D-Mace is a wild driver.
I don't know what happened. That's another story. We're going to have to find out more. What happened to D-Mace on the way over?
Which of his seven vehicles was he in?
I don't know. No. We're going to have to get the details.
The fancy one.
The fancy one.
I just wonder.
That narrows it down.
Right.
I was thinking he found the Bullet, his first car out of college that he loves to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
That he and his buddy went in for like a couple $100 each to drive around the
and
college
then it was
campus.
Gone one day.
Yeah, and then one day somebody stole the Bullet. That's a
we
classic.
We think it was stolen or towed.
That's part of the legend.
Wherever
don't know.
It went, you know, long live the Bullet.
Yes.
That's good.
Well, Suit, appreciate you for stopping
by. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always fun to chat with you.
Oh, yes.
Always great
yes,
time.
Yes, indeed.
Willie had a great time last night. You did a great job. Shout out to Stars of Nashville. Had a really great time helping Stars out last night. And we had a great time for a great cause. But coming up next, breathe a sigh of relief. Because Treylon Burks is not out for the season. Maybe the best possible case scenario for Treylon Burks' diagnosis. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Hey, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
How would you say to Treylon and how common that to have that happen in the practice?
Yeah, just went over, checked on him. You hate seeing that. yeah, we'll find out more information and see what's really going on. But hopefully it's going to be all right. I think he seemed obviously upset and understandably so. Just thoughts and prayers are with him right now, and hopefully, you know, it's not too bad.
There you go. That was Ryan Tannehill after practice yesterday, after Treylon Burks' injury, before we really learned what it was, when we were all prepared for the worst and hoping for the best. Again, Treylon Burks yesterday at practice in Minnesota brought down a beautiful catch, got separation from the DB in practice yesterday, came down with a beautiful catch from Ryan Tannehill, and he fell down to the ground, popped back up, slammed the football on the ground, kind of limped off the field, and he was carted off the field in practice. So we were hoping that it was something maybe similar to like Joe Burrow's injury, where it looked really bad in the video, but then it ended up just being like a calf strain. We were hoping it wasn't an ACL or an Achilles or something that would likely leave Treylon Burks out for the season. And all of our hoping and our praying and our wishing for the best paid off, because we learned yesterday evening that Treylon Burks sprained his LCL, a thing in your knee. Ligament in your knee, I guess is the right word to say, not thing.
Yeah, the ligament. LCL, the lesser known, you know, most of the time you hear these ACL, you tear your ACL, the arterial MCL. Collateral ligament. This is your lateral collateral ligament. So obviously when it's not torn, that's step one. That gives you hope. And now it's a matter of how severe the strain or sprain is, right? There's different degrees of it. So that's going to be the question going forward, is just how long is he out?
And
right?
That's what I've kind of done a little bit of research on, because I'm not going to act like a doctor. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a doctor. But in all of the things that I have read, like I looked at this article from Dr. David Chow, who's very well-known, long-time doctor in the NFL. He put out an article and said that it is likely that it could just be a few weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and that Treylon Burks could be prepped and ready to come back for week one against New Orleans. Now, of course, that's probably hopeful and obviously best case scenario. And any scenario where Treylon Burks can be back for week one, I think, is absolutely best case scenario. But at least a few weeks, and it doesn't seem like he's going to need surgery on the LCL. So I think that's great news. I think it's great news, obviously, for the Titans, because we looked at what this offense could be with Treylon Burks taking a step forward, which he looked and sounded poised and primed to be, combined with DeAndre Hopkins joining the fold, Chigakonkwo coming into his second year, into this Tim Kelly offense. I mean, Treylon Burks is an integral part of this offense and this team, so it's good news for the team. And I also think it's so good for Treylon Burks himself, because he has done everything right. He had a rocky, up-and-down rookie season, came in, wasn't conditioned, couldn't finish practices. And then every time throughout the regular season when you felt like, okay, Treylon Burks is really starting to warm up a bit, it was the turf toe, and then it was the concussion in Philadelphia. So his rookie season really left a whole lot to be desired. Some was his fault, and some was not his fault. So he did everything right to prove to everyone, to the team, to himself, to the football world, that he is a certified number one in this league. He stayed in Nashville in the offseason. He worked with the Titans trainers. He took the Cessna plane back home, you know, from Arkansas to Nashville to make sure that he was here in time for OTAs. We talked to him a few weeks ago at the beginning of training camp. He sounded confident. He sounded ready. He sounded just hungry and eager to be able to prove himself.
I thought about that interview a lot when that happened yesterday, because I was so excited for him after we talked to him, because like, man, this guy has really turned the page and grown up and really put so much in. He researched. He knew what he had to do, and he went down the checklist and did it all. So that was tough.
So I'm happy for him. You know, the team, of course. I'm happy for the fans, of course, because this team with and without Treylon Burks looks incredibly different. But more so than anything, I'm just happy for him that he doesn't have to be sidelined and experience another setback and, you know, potentially be out for the season. Because once you start racking up the injuries, then you start to get labeled as an injury-prone player. So avoiding that, I think, is a really positive thing for Treylon Burks.
And I feel like probably that was maybe the emotions you were seeing right in the aftermath of when he came up. He's like, you know, like he,
like you gotta be kidding.
He's been
me.
Dealing with injuries. You know, yeah. He had the turf toe that set him back. He got the tough hit in Philadelphia after he made a great catch.
It was a great catch.
So he's dealt with multiple things, and that's not even counting the asthma and the allergy combination of things that were getting him off to a slow start to begin with. So now you add this to the list. So he is having to battle through something else here, even though it's way less severe than we thought. It is significant that he's going to have to work his way back. Mm-hmm. He might get behind a bit, but he was, by all accounts, having a fantastic training camp. So he's got that under his belt. So it is going to be interesting. 3 to 4 weeks puts you close to the beginning of the regular season, mm-hmm. but it can take longer. So I think with his role, where his legs, his explosiveness is so essential to the offense, I hope he's not chasing it and trying to come back too early, because when he comes back, you want to see him as the player he was right before the injury, right? You don't want him see him slow down, especially at the start of the season. It's one thing to battle through something at the end of the year where you're like, hey, nobody's 100%, I got to play. But I'd love to see him get off to a good start. So if he missed one or two games, but you saw 100% Treylon Burks when he came back, mm-hmm. I might take that and just try to get by, and even if it meant he's not out there in week one.
Yeah, Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, he said it could be as little as 3 weeks. Now, we're a little over 1 month, 4 weeks away from week one against New Orleans. But I'm with you, Willie, that if you need to sit week one just to make sure that you are, one, 100% healed, and two, back to 100%, that explosiveness is back, that you're physically able to perform to the level that you need to be at. If what you need to do to be able to get to that point is sit week one, I'd rather you do that and be good for 16 games rather than rush it back week one and then maybe experience a setback and then you're out for 2 more weeks and then you come back and then you're back out for a couple of weeks. Do what you need to be able to do to be in and be 100% in rather than, you know, really try and rush things back. And then it's like an A.J. Brown 2.0 where you're in 1 week and you're out 1 week and you're in a game, then you're out at the half. And
you're
then
always on the injury list.
It's a constant thing.
Yeah. You would love to try to avoid that. And you have the luxury a little bit at the beginning of the season to be a little more cautious, I think, mm-hmm. than if you're sitting there and your team's 7-6 and you got to win to stay in the race. I mean, right. That's where you probably push it a bit, even if you're not 100%. So we'll see how it goes. I hope he can get behind it. But, you know, the overwhelming thought when that report by, who was it, Ian Rappaport was mm-hmm. circulating, I had to do a double take. I was like, oh, wow.
Like, is this the real Ian Rappaport?
Yeah, I was like, this is real, right? This is, you know, that was big. Because
you came up to me last night, you're like, did you hear the good news? Yeah. Like, about what? I was like, Treylon Burks? Like, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I will have to ask, though, before we head to a break, how much does this, because we're all former athletes here, how much does this affect his confidence? Because obviously he's a night and day different person from last season to this season. Mm-hmm. I've experienced a knee injury before. It was a lingering injury. Do you think this affects his confidence going into the rest of the season?
It's a good question. He has torn his ACL before, right?
Treylon
Burks in college. So he knows what that process is like, which is, again, looking at his reaction, probably the fear that jumps back in there. Ooh, did I do it again? This doesn't feel right. I personally did tear my ACL when I was 40 years old. And so, but I remember trying to get back and start playing basketball. You do think about it mm-hmm. a little bit, but I think having been through that for him might help.
And I think that having kind of the fire of, I got so much to prove this season and I'm excited and ready to do it, I think that helps. And also the sentiment of, you can't play football scared. Like, I know that feeling that it's scary to get back into it, but you can't let that feeling linger over your head. But I was on Jared versus Joe yesterday, and TD joined Jared versus Joe. And one of the questions was, how screwed are the Titans if Treylon Burks is out? And they said, okay, how long? And I said, well, let's just, you know, look at one scenario. What if he's out for the season? Both Jared, Joe, and TD, they all go, ooh, it would be bad. The Titans would be screwed. So I think we could all rejoice in that the Titans totally avoided disaster. They totally avoid getting screwed. And Treylon Burks is not out for the season. And I think in my opinion, it's the best possible outcome from a really scary situation. But Gentry Estes was out at practice yesterday. He is in Minnesota, so Gentry Estes will join us coming up next. We'll get a full breakdown of what he saw on the practice field yesterday. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We are obviously not in Minnesota, so we recruited the help of somebody who is in Minnesota, who saw practice yesterday, who's going to practice today, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean. Gentry, appreciate your time. Obviously, the story of the day yesterday and really coming into today was that Treylon Burks went down with what looked like a really scary injury, but thank goodness the Titans avoided disaster. Treylon Burks sprained his LCL and should be out a few weeks, is not out for the entirety of the season. So what I want your perspective on is everything else that you saw from practice yesterday. I've heard great things about the defense. I'm starting to drink the Titans defense Kool-Aid. What did you see from the defense yesterday? What stood out?
It's good to be with you guys. Yesterday it was the defense did play really well yesterday, and it was something that I think got overshadowed certainly by what happened with Treylon, because once it was a really scary moment with Treylon. I mean, I think everybody's kind of understood immediately what that could mean for the Titans season, and then to have it, you know, relatively good news by the end of the day was certainly a sigh of relief. But I think what did kind of get overlooked was the fact that defense had a wonderful day, and that's something that I came up here really wanting to see, because we've seen this day after day at practice in Nashville where the defense has just kind of dominated the offense, especially up front, the pass rush, but they've done well in the secondary. It just seems like I can't really think of a day where I walked out of there saying the offense outperformed the defense today. It's been as one-sided as any camp I've been around. So you come up here and you want to see, okay, well, was that the defense or was it the offense? The way to try to see that is to see them go against another team, and a team with Kirk Cousins and Alex Mattison and, you know, Justin Jefferson, and these guys who, you know, are going to be able to test them maybe in ways that the Titans haven't, certainly, you know, in a situation where they know what's coming. Defense played great. Honestly, it looked a lot like the practices had in Nashville to me, where the Vikings offense really struggled to get anything going. They, in the hurry-up two-minute drill there at the end of practice, the Vikings had each of their first two groups on the field for exactly two plays. And on the second play, both were passes that were intercepted by the Titans. Second one forced by the pass rush. Pass rush got after Cousins. The secondary, I thought, covered pretty well. And on those fields, there were a lot of fans at that practice. This is a magnificent facility here, really, and I think that, you know, there were a ton of fans there yesterday. Stayed pretty quiet. Vikings offense didn't give them a lot to cheer for, and to me that was a really encouraging sign on what has been an already really encouraging preseason for the defense.
Gentry Estes is with us. One thing that really resonated with me when we were talking to Jared yesterday, you two on the defensive side of the field, how you said Justin Jefferson didn't really seem like a factor in practice yesterday. When you're talking about one of the best, if not the best, receivers in the league, that means something to me. So we think we knew that what was in store for this front seven with Jeffrey Simmons and Autry and Harold Landry, but the secondary sounds very encouraging as well, whether it's Sean Murphy Bunting, Roger McCreary, or even the interception from Rashad Weaver yesterday.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that does have to do with the pass rush, and it's and I say that because it is a continuation of what we have seen in Nashville, and look, the Titans' number one offense has really struggled at times with this. Tannehill just hasn't had a lot of time. He's been flushed from the pocket. I mean, you guys have seen it. You know, Burks and Hopkins have made plays, and and Jefferson did too at times yesterday, but it to me looked a lot like what we've seen the defense already be able to do. So to be able to, we'll see what happens today. I think the Vikings will probably make a few adjustments and probably have a little bit more of a point to prove. And it should also be mentioned that we're in 25, 30-mile-an-hour winds or something crazy. It's actually cold out there right now, which, you know, to think that I was going to be at a training camp practice in August and feel that way. If it's as windy today as it was yesterday, and I think it's going to be pretty difficult to throw the ball around. And I think that was a factor yesterday. But the Titans' pass rush was to not only getting after Kirk Cousins, but there were a couple plays where the Vikings tried a run play and lost like 5-6 yards. Running back takes a step or two and there's somebody all over him right away. It's pretty impressive to see what the Titans were able to do up front.
So let's get to a very important question, Gentry. Gentry asked us from the Tennessean. Did you bring the proper layering going to the land of the lakes, going up to Minnesota?
No, I prepared horribly. I swear I checked the weather report. It said it was going to be in the 80s today, and then, you go out there right now, and, I'm in a short-sleeve shirt, shorts, and just completely not ready for this.
Are you going to go to the pro shop and get a Viking sweatshirt?
The locals, I think, would laugh for me to say I'm cold here right now, probably. But they were telling us yesterday how hot it was, so we kind of chuckled at that. So, I mean, there are worse places to be here in August. But I should have been more prepared for the fact that it is actually going to be a chilly practice today.
You should go out and get like a big, loud Golden Gophers gold sweatshirt, like a hoodie, and bring it out there. That would be the way to go. All right, yep. So here's another guy. I want to ask you about this. We've focused a lot on Christian Fulton because – he's been there. This is a contract year for him, big season. But Sean Murphy Bunting on the other side, sort of a less heralded free agent, but a guy that looks like he's going to play a big role. So what have you seen from him so far?
Actually, talk about Jefferson. He went against him. He was the guy who went against him most of the reps yesterday. It wasn't Fulton. It was Murphy Bunting. And that whole secondary, what stood out to me this training camp is how physical they play. I think this is going to be a secondary that forces referees to make a lot of decisions in terms of how physical they're going to let them be. And it strikes me as a basketball team that defends so physically that they're not going to call a foul every single possession. And that has stood out to me in Nashville. It stood out to me again yesterday with and there was some contact down the field. They got flagged for it a few times. But, he has been a good addition, I think, to a secondary that has, I do believe, changed their mentality a little bit when it comes to that sort of thing. And I feel like Murphy Bunting has fit right in. There was some question when he came in, what position could he play? There's some versatility there, but he's been at a boundary corner the whole time. I think he clearly is going to be one of their top two guys.
I guess we're all going to assume that we're not going to see Tannehill in the game on Saturday, but they had to get Tannehill a lot of reps in this practice. So what did you see from the other two guys, Willis and Levis?
Did pretty well. I thought Willis had a good day. He considering, I talked about the wind, and that's not an easy thing for a quarterback, and you saw guys struggle with it at times. I thought Willis was pretty accurate. He had a good practice, all things considered, dealing with that. The way the practice was structured, Levis maybe didn't get as many reps as he would. If it was in Nashville, it seemed like there was a lot more focus on the ones and twos, and the threes didn't really get a lot of looks. But, really, things are going on fast on both fields, right? So you're kind of trying to focus on both things at once. And I'm watching the Vikings offense really struggle to do much of anything. And then you look at the other field, and the Titans hitting a couple big plays, including the one that Treylon Burks got hurt. So I feel like the Titans offense did a little more in the conditions than the Vikings were able to do. But again, I really do think the wind's going to be a factor here. And it would not surprise me if a lot of the storylines that you hear coming out of practice is the quarterback struggling, because it would only make sense in the conditions that they might have some trouble throwing and catching.
Speaking of the wind, we know the kicker question is a big question for the team, and that probably wasn't easy to kick yesterday. So what'd you see from the two guys?
They did okay, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it was, if the wind was at your back, it was going pretty well. I think Shudak took most of the kicks yesterday. I think it went pretty well. Best that I could tell I think there was one long one there at the end that didn't have enough on it, but he actually got closer than I thought he would kicking into the wind, to be honest. Ryan Stonehouse was walking off the field afterwards, and I asked him, I said, did you get to take one with the wind at your back? Because they were like thinking about the guy punting at 80 yards in these conditions, and he laughed and said, "No, that he wasn't. He didn't get a chance to do that. So maybe today. But I would imagine. I think Shudak's day was yesterday, so we'll probably see what Trey Wolf can do with this today."
Gentry Esses is with us. Gentry, I am losing sleep over the Titans' offensive line. I am terrified. I am worried. I am concerned. What did you see from them yesterday against the Minnesota pass rush?
I feel like they did pretty well. I mean, I think the. To me, the big that was a big, I'm not going to say turning point because we'll see what happens, but I thought it was really big for that group to get out there in the preseason game against Chicago and do as well as they did for that first possession. Going against some pretty good guys on that Bears defense, too. And you know, I whenever this happens in training camp, there's always going to be one unit or one side of the ball that everyone worries about, but you don't know, are they that good, are they that bad, or is the Titans pass rush and D-line that good? And you never know that until you see them go against other teams, and I guess we still don't know that going into the season, but I think what we've seen here in the last week or so from the preseason, it might be the Titans' D-line and the pass rush that really is that good, because I feel like the first-string O-line held up and did pretty well against the Bears for whatever that's worth in a preseason game. I still think if you're asking me what the biggest concern on the team is, I think it's definitely that. Not only is the group they have in experience together and all those kind of things, but that's just not a very deep group either. And they're a couple injuries away from some real trouble there. And goodness knows, we've seen this team during the season. They're probably going to have those injuries. So
knock on all the wood.
So that, I will say, though, it's a concern for me, too. I totally get all that. But it hasn't been bad here in the last week. And I think the group's starting to gel, which is what you would expect from a group where everybody was playing at another spot or another team last year.
I'll take that. I will take that. Last one for you, Gentry. I want you to put your best teacher hat on and give a grade for each of the three quarterbacks that you saw yesterday and for their day in practice.
The three for the Titans or Cousins?
Three for the Titans. I don't care about Cousins.
Levis gets an incomplete just because I really didn't see him do a whole lot. That there just wasn't a lot of reps. He did. I saw him hit a couple of throws. He did fine. I thought Malik Willis had a pretty good day. I think it's a B plus for him, definitely. And Tannehill wasn't bad. You know, I'd say B minus. All things considered, the Titans got the better of this practice yesterday. Usually, what you see in these 2-day joint practices when that happens, the Vikings are going to come out and do pretty well today. And it wouldn't shock me if a lot of the storylines are Titans are struggling, quarterbacks weren't hitting throws, and just wasn't that good a day. That's usually how these things go, but we'll see. I think that one thing that has stood out to me, and I said before, the consistency that with which the defense has performed this training camp continues to stand out for the Titans. They're as good on that side of the ball right now as I've seen at this point in the year, again, for whatever that's worth, but I've seen very little that would suggest this defense isn't going to be significantly better this year and something that could really carry this team more than what people are expecting.
I think so, too. I'm excited about it. Gentry, appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy practice today.
You bet. Take care, y'all.
Bundle up over there. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and he is the very best. Appreciate him taking his time to join us to break down practice yesterday. So coming up next, we'll break down what Gentry had to say, our reactions, and your reactions as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Willie, the people have spoken. We have some thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyAnda.com. So unless you have a thought,
let's hear from the people.
Let's get to your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Dave Texan says, if the number of games that Burks misses this season due to injury was at 5.5, would you take the over or under? I would take the over, says Dave. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what his injury looks like. I don't know what his recovery would look like. So I can't confidently say over or under, or he'll be back week one or he'll be back week three. I don't know. I can't project into the future. Based off of what doctors have said, I would take the under, because Dr. David Chow, the pro football doctor, said maybe he could be back for week one. But again, I don't know what his recovery is going to look like. I don't know if the knee is going to act up at some point again in the middle of the season, and maybe he misses a handful of games here and there. So my initial reaction would be under. But again, I don't know. I can't say that.
But the question is a good one, I think, because if you go back to last year, and we mentioned he tore his ACL in college. Mm-hmm. So he's got a list of things that would lead you to believe he's had trouble staying out there and staying healthy. So it's a fair question to ask. Mm-hmm. He just gave me a great idea for something we did last year before you joined us, Caroline. But
the 10 biggest questions of the preseason. I think that's going to have to be on our list. You know, who's going to be the kicker will obviously be one. We'll have questions about Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. But I do think if you told me right now that Treylon Burks plays 14 or 15 games, I would take that.
I'll take that.
I would love that because I do think, well, we know he is very questionable for week one right now. So that's probably going to up that over-under number. I wonder if in Vegas they would concur with our texter's number of 5.5 there.
Because that seems high.
Let's say he misses five. So that's 12 games played. Would you take that?
I wouldn't love it, but I wouldn't love it. 12 over 11. Like 12 is...
12 over 8.
He played 11 games last year, and we were complaining about how we didn't see enough from Treylon Burks.
And there were too many games where he was fighting through. He was playing catch-up. You didn't feel like you were really seeing. That's what was so disappointing about the last play where he got knocked out by the Eagles because you were like, oh, you know, just for that second before he got hit, you're like, maybe he's starting to get it. We're starting to see it. But that's a huge question. It's a good question because it's not just what happened yesterday. It's you go back through, he's had to deal with some things. Some people just aren't cut out to be able to stay on the field in the NFL.
And look, injuries happen. Like, football is a dangerous game. You are lucky if you're able to get through one season unscathed. You look at Kevin Byard. Like, he is an anomaly. D. Mace, he never suffered any really major injuries throughout his career. And unfortunately, players like that are anomalies more so than players who tear ACLs or have shoulder problems. So look, injuries, unfortunately, are going to happen. You just hope that Treylon Burks' knee is more so of a, okay, it happened, you rehab it, you come back, and you're 100%. Because like Tannehill tore his ACL, for example. But after he came back from that ACL tear, the knee wasn't really a problem. Another texter texts in. Adam in Portland says, at least he's not out for the year. This time last year, we all had the Harold Landry rain cloud hovering over us. And that's so true.
Oh, I thought about that a lot yesterday, too.
Ugh.
Is how I thought that, okay, I still feel like they can overcome this. They overcame a lot the year before, but they really didn't overcome that. Now, we don't know what Landry's going to look like. I'm tempering my expectations, but what I like is the other guys they have along that front, I think can take some pressure off of Landry to where they're not going to sit there and go, boy, we've got to have 10 sacks from Harold Landry to make it work. That particular position group does have some depth. There's questionable depth a lot up and down the lineup for the Titans, but that's not one. So Landry's an important guy coming back, but I almost think, you know, they've adapted some. I like what I'm seeing from Arden Key. But I think it's a good point that they did not recover from Landry. And that would have been psychologically a tough, tough thing to overcome. We were all trying to wrap our arms around it yesterday when we were worried. Okay, what does this team look like without Treylon Burks for the whole season? You did not want to have to answer that question.
My question yesterday on Jared versus Joe was, are the Titans screwed?
Are they sunk?
And honestly, I would lean yes. That without Treylon Burks, this offense is in a really,
it was hard to see,
really tough position.
Hard to see where they would get what they're going to need from anybody else.
Yeah.
It would have to be somebody completely out of nowhere.
And that's what D-Mace was saying yesterday, that, hey, now it's next man up mentality. Chris Moore, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Rayson McMath, what are you going to do? How are you going to step up? Which is true, but none of those receivers can do what Treylon Burks can do. You have a certain ceiling, and the ceilings of those receivers are much lower than Treylon Burks's.
It would be great for one of those guys to seize this opportunity for the next few weeks, though, and say, okay, take a look at me. I'm going to carve out a good role here so that when Burks comes back, the team is even more, they found somebody that maybe they didn't know they had.
Absolutely. It's like Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman.
Sure.
How those two were able to step up, and when Derrick Henry was out, 8-9 games in 2021? Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman were able to bridge that gap when Derrick Henry was out with an injury. So, yeah, what can you do with this opportunity? That's my challenge to those receivers. Trey from Antioch texts in, says, should guys like Kyaris Jackson and Reggie Roberson be considered over a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine since we already know what he has to offer, or is he unfortunately a lock to make the team? We did our locks to make the team, I believe, the end of last week. I think we all agreed Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not a lock. Doesn't mean that he's not going to make the team, but he's not a lock on this team. I think we only had four wide receiver locks, and it was DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, Kyle Phillips, and Chris Moore.
Hmm. That is one to watch, and I think this injury probably helps Ikhine become closer to a lock, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, just for the security of it, the familiarity, his experience, that will help him. But what D-Mace pointed out is his lack of contribution on special teams forces him to be a very important part of the wide receivers. And if he's not, if you got other guys that are equal that also play special teams, that puts your roster spot in jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Everything that I've read, we're not at Minnesota, we are not out at practices, but everything that I've read, everything that I have heard about this defense so far in Minnesota has been stellar. Gentry S has also weighed in as well. So we'll get our thoughts on the defense coming up next. Can the defense carry this team? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.